always feel like, boy, when you're trying to recreate something you had before, I think it's a dangerous thing and it often doesn't work out. I would rather look ahead than back.
All the way through his career, that's been a staple of his. One word about him, aggressive. I think that there's a lot of things going for Wink. I think fans are really going to like him.
You know, you want to blow it up. Number one, you better be really, really careful. It's like when anyone says that, blow it up, my first response always is, are you ready to lose? You're going to lose.
Welcome into the new lounge. We are in new digs here, Garrett.
We are. There's a new facility here, and as you know, Ravens fans probably know, this building, the Under Armour Performance Center, has undergone this massive millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of construction.
You footed the bill, right?
Yeah, exactly. They just called me up and I said, yeah, no problem. $40 million bucks.
Right,
sure,
right,
I got
a check.
That. Yeah. You want cash or check? What do you prefer? and so yeah, they just opened the new wing, and which means the old wing is now under construction, but we're in the new part, which is very nice.
And we have a new permanent lounge.
Yes.
But we have some more lounge mates.
We do have new lounge mates.
Right? So it's four kind of cubes in one room, and one of our new lounge mates we wanted to welcome on today, and that's John Eisenberg. John, thank you for coming on. What's it feel like to be in the lounge?
You're a new official member.
I'm officially a member. It's a deep honor. It is a deep honor. I'm interested to see how it all works out.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm very flattered to be in the lounge, and I'm going to name myself vice president or Ooh. Secretary treasurer or something. You guys are the main guys, but you can work that out.
Well, here's how it goes.
Oh,
I'm president. You can be vice president and then make right, his custodian.
You can be president.
Yeah.
I'm czar. I'm czar. So it's fine. You know, here's what it's like in the lounge, John, when you come in, right? So you come in Monday after a win, and Garrett and I are making plans, Super Bowl plans.
Yep.
You know, we're like,
yeah.
Oh, this past year, you know, when the Ravens are going on a run late in the season, hey, did you make restaurant plans for Minnesota?
Yep.
You know, get that parka, you know, come in after a loss. What are we doing?
Right.
You know, it's wild swings in the lounge, but we always keep it fun.
I look forward to it.
I look forward to it.
Free piece of advice, invest in a nice pair of noise-canceling headphones. You're going to need those in the lounge.
All right.
So we had one email to the lounge, and as always, you can reach us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. This one comes from Trevor Hontz, or Honst. Can never get an easy one. You know, it's,
Smith.
It always keeps us on our toes. I like it. You know?
Yeah.
So Trevor says, hey guys, I'm a longtime Ravens fan and I stay in Miami. I also play football and my father played for Penn State and was a national recruiter.
So nice.
Knows a thing or two about recruiting. I say that to say this. Recently, the draft classes that the Ravens have had have been at best mediocre, especially at the wide receiver position. Really, the only wide receiver that we've developed in recent memory is Torrey Smith. It's so frustrating year after year to watch us pass on wideouts that may have been really good receivers in the middle rounds, i.e. Juju Smith, Kenny Stills, Jameson Crowder, Michael Thomas, and more. Please, all I ask this year is for the Ravens to draft an explosive wide receiver. That was in all caps, explosive. one that can create separation and understands the game. I feel like the Ravens are pretty lucky because a guy not too far from you by the name of DJ Moore from my University of Maryland.
I don't want
is
him.
Exactly what we need. I'll leave the highlights below so you can see for yourself. This turned into a rant, but I really felt this message had to be heard. So there you go. That's from Trevor.
Well, thank you for the email, Trevor.
Thank you for the email, Trevor. One thing on that you know immediately jumped to mind is another guy who was right down the street that the Ravens ended up not taking with Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Another wide receiver from the University of Maryland. So let's hope, you know, if DJ Moore is the real deal, if he's legit, let's hope they get the Maryland product this time. I'd be a fan.
Yeah.
I'd be a fan.
I mean, the receiver, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about a receiver between now and late April, and that is going to be, I mean, if I had to say priority number one going into next season, I think I would probably put receiver at the top of the list, right? I mean, what would you guys?
Top.
Yes, I would put it at the top.
Top of the list. How about two?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
1A and 1B.
And then maybe a tight end.
And then probably pass catching tight end.
Yes. Yep.
Targets. Pretty high. Oh, you know it's going to be the Alabama inside linebacker?
What?
Hey,
yeah.
Come on, guys. How many times have you seen this?
No, D-tackle.
You know it's the top Alabama linebacker. Uh-huh. Come plug him in next to CJ. Number 16. How many times do you have to go through this?
Yeah.
But I'll say this about wide receiver to Trevor's question, too.
I mean, I think that that is probably the biggest hole in the Ravens draft history over the years. I mean, they've drafted a ton of great players. You know, we all know the success that they've had. Now, there have been, I think, recently, you know, they haven't hit in the second and third rounds in the past few years. There's been a number of guys who haven't panned out so far in those positions, and guys who had enough time and it just never happened.
Yeah.
That's something they have to correct. But if we're looking at one position that has been elusive for them, it's wide receiver. And I don't think you can't hide from that, you know?
No, you can't hide from it. But also, I think, taking into account where the team is right now, you can't stop firing bullets. You have to keep going.
Oh, for
you
sure.
You have to keep drafting. I mean, I guarantee you there's some people, if the Ravens take a wide receiver in the first round this year, you know, some people's heads will just explode. Uh-huh. Some fans, because like, oh!
Happiness or anger?
They don't even know. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. The heads will explode. It's like, oh, another one. Oh, gosh. Right. When's he going to get hurt?
Yeah.
So, right. You know, but it's like you have to try.
For
you
sure.
have to try and not be afraid of what's going on in the past, because it's the number one need.
I think they have to do that. And I also think there's something to be said with they've had success getting him in free agency. I think Steve Smith, you know, Jeremy Maclin didn't have the kind of season I think everybody envisioned. But you look at Mike Wallace was a great signing. Steve Smith.
Anquan
Boldin. You know, they have Derek Mason. You look at that and say, I think they also need to go to that formula. Because you need both. You need the free agent. And you need better youth at wide receiver.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. They've been pretty good with that. You got to get the right guy. But, you know, no doubt there needs to be some young guys that you don't have to keep going over this every year, which free agents are out there. You know, you got to get a young guy that you can plug in for a few years.
It's going to be interesting because this receiving corps could look totally different. Mike Wallace is a free agent. Jeremy Maclin, there's been people who have speculated that he could be a salary cap casualty.
He would be a big cap savings if they were to release
him. So who knows what happens there. Brashad, he's going to have to earn his stripes. The Ravens said that during the season review press conference. John Harbaugh said that. So, I mean, you could have...
Chris Moore's the biggest known entity that they have right now.
Campanera's a
free agent.
Yeah, so like Chris it could Moore. Be a totally new group going into next season, which is going to be interesting to see. So there's been a number of things that have happened over the last week since we last talked on the lounge. You know, it was a very sad lounge last week. It was the first one.
We were still recovering.
Postseason.
We were in what phase of grief were we
very
in?
Early. Very early in the process. But since that point, a few things have happened. First and foremost, DNP's retired. The Ravens promoted from within. They promoted Don Wink. We know him as Wink Martindale to replace him. And then on the offensive side, Greg Roman, there was rumors that he could be going elsewhere, maybe get an OC job. Well, he is staying put. He's the tight ends coach, run game guru. Now he's the assistant head coach. Mm-hmm. So those are two big things.
Not associate.
That's Jerry Rosberg. So you got to keep this thing straight. So so I guess, John, we can start.
And James Urban, quarterback's coach.
Correct. And James Urban, they brought him as a quarterback's coach. So what do you guys think about the move to promote Wink?
The move to promote Wink, I like. I mean, I'm fine with it. I think, some people wanted a splashier hire. I think the fan base is looking for something to get excited about.
The Chuck Pagano hire, right?
The Chuck Pagano hire, or, you know, and, you know, if they'd hired Chuck, well, that's exciting. That would have been great, you know. But I always feel like, boy, when you're trying to recreate something you had before, I think it's a dangerous thing, and it often doesn't work out. I would rather look ahead than back.
Oh.
And you got a guy here that is groomed for the job, and the players, I mean, it's telling. They all just said, I want Wink. You know, Suggs and Weddle.
Mosley,
you know, they were all like, Wink, that'd be awesome. You know, I mean, that tells you something. He's the people's choice here. So, you know, that he's the right guy to run this group, it seems like. So I'm fine with it.
Why do you prefer looking forward than back, I guess? Can you just dive into that a little bit more? Is that, that's a general philosophy of yours?
I mean, I feel like you got to be very careful with, you know, it's always, I mean... It happens all the time. Let's sign Anquan. You know, let's sign. I mean, there's a million issues. You know, it's always, can we go get that guy because they had success before? Well, it doesn't have any bearing on whether there's going to be success in the future.
Right.
I mean, what you're looking for with a defense is production. Are they going to get better? What will enable them to get better? Will bringing Chuck Pagano in, will that be better than a guy who the players love?
Right.
I think it's a very, very fair question. I'm not sure that the answer is yes.
Right. Here's my thing is that I think everybody wanted the Ravens to be more aggressive on defense, and they wanted more aggressive play calling, I think particularly late in games. That is Don Martindale. That's Wink, right? Wink is, from the time he was hired in Denver, all the way through his career, that's been a staple of his. One word about him, aggressive, right? So you kind of got what you want. It's just... it's in a different name, right? People love Chuck because of what he did. Chuck's gone to Indy. How good have their defenses been?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, are you kidding? There's also some statistics I know. You know who's aggressive? You know who's aggressive? Dean Pease. You know, Dean Pease, there are these next-gen stats. I think you talk about quarterback pressures and everything. The Ravens, at one point this season, were leading the league. Now, I don't know if they ended that way, but always sending people. He was always sending people. So
John Harbaugh even talked about that before. He said, with Dean, I have to, like, dial him back. You know, like, he always wants to blitz.
So I think the aggressiveness thing is just, honestly, the whole conversation about it is, I don't think, informed.
Right.
Because it's like they've been aggressive. It's like the question is how are you gonna calibrate it so that aggressiveness doesn't cause you to give up points at the end of the game, which is, you know, just happened over and over and over again.
Right.
So I think that's the question.
Yeah. My thing with Wink is, I mean, I think that there was a little bit of, I don't know what the word would be, disappointment amongst the fan base to some degree when that hire is announced. And I just don't really find that to be fair. I mean, like, it's not like Wink was here, had a shot, and failed. Since he's been here, C.J. Mosley's been under his tutelage the entire time, and he might be the best inside linebacker in the NFL. Zachary Orr, nobody had heard of him coming out of the draft, and he went on and became an All-Pro in his second season under the tutelage of Wink. So, like, he's had a lot of success since he's been here in his role. Again, players love him, and now he's going to get the opportunity to be that DC.
Well, I think there's disappointment just because people want change, right? And Wink is not the change candidate in this election.
Not. He's not.
Right? He's
not.
The internal guy. So people want, they just want
change for the sake of change.
Change for the sake of change, exactly. Yeah. They're not looking at the logistics. And I think, you know, it's a little bit tougher sell when you have Wink, who his 1 year as a DC previously, Denver finished dead last in yards allowed and points. But then you go back and look at that roster, it's like, hell was on that defense?
Not a good team. That was not a
good
team.
Not a good team at all.
A good team.
The players make a huge difference. So to me, this is a big opportunity for Wink. He's got a much better roster with him. He's going to be definitely pumped up for a second chance to prove what kind of coach he can be. Even, you know, CJ talked about it. Oh, yeah, Wink always was talking about how he wanted to be a DC again. I mean, and I like that players have said, one good thing about Wink is the way he teaches, he knows every position on the defense, right? So he's not just a linebacker's coach. This guy, even while he was just linebacker's coach, really studied the entire defense. So I think that there's a lot of things going for Wink. I think fans are really going to like him. This guy is like a third Ryan brother. Yeah. He is in the same mold as Rob and Rex. He's got personality. He's aggressive. Like I said, whether that word that you're
talking
about
is whatever. He's a Rex Ryan disciple.
He's a Ryan brother's disciple, yeah.
He's a Ryan disciple, so.
So I think people are going to like him. You know, people didn't love Chuck Pagano. Who the heck was Chuck Pagano when the Ravens hired him in 2010 to be their DC, you know?
You know,
he was an internal candidate coming off of Greg Madison. And I think Wink is going to be kind of like Chuck. You know, Greg Madison was kind of like a, you know, fans didn't love Greg Madison. He's good scheme, knows his stuff, but Chuck came in and kind of energized that defense with his personality and his play calling. I think that Wink is going to be kind of that same kind of guy coming off of Dean Pease.
Well, I think you've hit on something there with that last comment. It's like, who's going to energize him?
Yeah.
Who's going to get him excited, you know? And I think that's an underrated part of it. I think the scheme part, I mean, in terms of calling the defensive plays, we'll see. I mean, it's a different skill than developing a linebacker. And hopefully he'll have a touch for it. You don't know.
Right.
I mean, he certainly can, but hopefully the players will be excited about playing for him.
Yeah, I think there's something to a defensive mentality.
Yes.
It's being offensive on defense, like taking that attitude and stuff. I think that Wink will bring that.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that the players just immediately came out for him, to me, that's telling. It's like, okay, well, this is what they want.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, what about the other side of the ball? Greg Roman. I think he merits some discussion as well. I mean, this is a guy that last year he came in here and the running game just looked completely different from the time that he arrived. And it was more successful. You have a guy in Alex Collins who comes in here and ends up, like, it was probably went hand in hand. You find Alex Collins, he ends up being a really good player. And also you add in the scheme element. But I mean, I think it was huge to keep him here. I mean, I think he would have been a really big loss. I just thought he reimagined the running game when you compare it to what it was previously. Like, that's the biggest thing I could think about what he's brought. And it would have been a loss. I mean, so I'm
for sure.
I'm thrilled that he's here.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent move. I mean, and I don't know what it means the promotion. I don't know the difference between assistant and associate and all that stuff.
I think it means cha-ching.
Well, yeah, definitely. Right? Yeah. But I wonder if he signed a longer than 1 year contract. I mean, I wonder if he's settling in here. You know, I don't know. But anyway, it's a good move. And yeah, I mean, the running game was, people forget how not good it was in 2016. It was really pretty good this year. So, yeah, you definitely want to build that. You know, I believe in continuity there for sure.
Yeah. I think it would have been difficult. It to me, it would have almost been like when Gary Kubiak left, right? Because Gary came in and he brought in this whole new system, right? Well, that's what Greg did specifically for the running game, right? So if Greg would have left, what would the Ravens have done? Would they have tried to stick with his same system without him? You know, that's kind of what they did when Gary left. And in 2015, it just didn't work. You know, without Gary there, I think it wasn't the same because they put a little twist on it and whatnot. So they would have been in a predicament, I think, if he had gone as to what direction this running game would have gone. And I think he's a good coach. I think the players really like the system. They like that it engaged a lot of different guys. You know, the tight ends are really heavily involved. Mm-hmm. You can create mismatches. You're not doing the same thing over and over again. You have a lot of tricks in your bag, kind of. Mm-hmm. So once again, with what players like, I think Greg is that guy.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it was a revelation. You know, they set out to do things, and it doesn't always work out. This worked out. Yeah. And then that was despite a lot of injuries on the offensive line. Yeah. So let's see, maybe with a better offensive line, things will be even better.
Yeah. Right. So, all right, the other coaching move was the addition of James Urban as a quarterback's coach. So he's been in Cincinnati for the last however many, 6 years?
Seven, I think.
And he was a wide receivers coach there. But he has experience as a quarterback's coach.
From Philly.
Yeah. So John knows him, obviously, from the time together in Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited. I'm interested by this one. You look like you got something to say, John.
I do. This is my favorite of the moves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's a good move.
I think it's needed.
I think it was needed. I think this is the attempt. This is basically a tacit acknowledgement that they think Joe can do better.
Uh-huh.
You know, you bring in a quarterback's coach, you know, a guy that's just going to be in his ear and everything. And I think Joe has done better historically. I don't have the numbers in front of me when there is a position coach and, you know, somebody to really focus in on him. And, you know, I think that the signing, I think Joe did need it this year. And I think that this is an attempt to make, I mean, still with the offense, how Joe goes is how it's going to go. This is an attempt to improve that. And I think, you know, what I hear about James Urban is pretty good. Pretty respected guy. And, you know, just hopefully the right fit personality-wise.
Well, I mean, to me, I kind of go back to the conversation of change, and everybody wants change. And I think that there can be elements of change. And
this is change.
This is change. This is change. Yeah. You went from not having a quarterback's coach. It was Marty who was a QB coach. Now you have a quarterback's coach. And it's a new guy coming in who's been in a younger guy who's been in a division rival for the past 7 years. So now, like, that is change. It's not blowing the whole thing up and starting over from scratch, which is what some people want. But you can have nuance. And I'm excited about that. I mean, I'm with you. I think this is one that could be a really positive move.
Under the radar, I think it's a big move. And I think it's a big move.
And the other thing that I think it acknowledges is that they want somebody in here to possibly groom a younger quarterback. You know, John talked about it at the season-ending presser that they're going to have some serious discussions about drafting a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think that bringing in a quarterback's coach is a sign that they're headed in that direction because they need somebody to be, you know, Marty being the OC, he shouldn't be spending his time grooming a fifth-round quarterback. Right. That's not his job when you're OC. When you're a quarterback's coach, that is your job and a big part of it. So I think that is something that tells me they're going to draft one this year. And the other thing, let's look at his track record, right? So back in Philadelphia, he had Donovan McNabb. Now, McNabb had done a lot in the league by this point, but he went to a Pro Bowl the year that he was with James Urban. Then Mike Vick came back from jail, back on the football field and was comeback player of the year and went to the Pro Bowl in his first year with James Urban. James Urban didn't make Mike Vick fast and athletic or whatever, but that says something. To come off the street.
He was multiple years out of the league and he came back and he was the most dynamic player in the league again that season.
And I mean, there's always coaching involved in those situations.
Exactly.
There is coaching involved.
And even with the wide receiver thing, I mean, it just speaks to player development, I think. Look at Cincinnati. Mohamed Sanu became
one after the other.
Became a player. AJ Green's a freak, but I mean, I think he probably helped AJ Green. You have to give him some credit for him. You look at some other guys. Who was the Lions guy? Marvin Jones.
Marvin Jones, yeah.
Was not a huge name. He's gone on to sign a big deal. Some other smaller guys had good year. Dane Sausenbacher or whatever had his best year there. So you look at Cincinnati's receivers, and they've consistently turned out good young guys. I think James Urban.
I'm telling you, this is what I hear. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's a good coach. They brought him in. He's sound. And he's on that Andy Reid tree, which I kind of like. I mean, people are always like, oh, he always loses in the first round and all that. But, you know.
I don't think your quarterback's coach is going to be the reason you lose in the first round.
Right. Yeah, but I think under the radar, this could be a major move.
Yeah, that's cool. So we're talking kind of, you dove into it a little bit here, Garrett, but continuity, mm-hmm. right? That's been the Ravens' overall strategy this offseason for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, they made some tweaks here and there. But I think that's what's kind of rubbing a lot of fans, including ones in my Twitter feed, the wrong way.
Mine too. Yeah. A lot of them.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that this is kind of, there's a feeling out there among fans that it's just time to clean house.
Mm-hmm.
And that is clearly not the direction the Ravens have gone. So what's your guys' stance on in general, broadly, on continuity, or were we at the point after three losing seasons in a row out of the playoffs?
Not losing seasons.
3 years out of the playoffs. That you know, was it time that they needed to make larger scale changes?
Well, John's point is a good one. It's not losing. It's
one losing season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
One losing. So you're stuck
when
in the
Joe
middle.
Got hurt.
Yeah, you're sort of grinding your gears around 500, a little bit above. So I would say this, you know, look at the playoffs. Watch the playoffs. I mean, I sort of understand the mentality. It's like, ugh, again, you know, 3 years in a row, blah, blah, blah. You know, you want to blow it up. I think blowing it up, you better, number one, you better be really, really careful. It's like, when anyone says that, blow it up, my first response always is, are you ready to lose? You're going to lose.
Yeah.
Right. Are you ready to lose next year? You're going to lose.
like a lot.
Yeah. So, okay, you blow it up, you get rid of the core, you get rid of everything. Okay, are you ready to go 4-12? Because that's what's going to happen. So when you're 2-8, are you going to stick on your Twitter feed saying, I'm all in?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, we'll check back with you.
You know,
I'm not the blow it up thing. Sometimes it is right to blow it up. But when a team, I mean, when you watch, I watched the wild card round last weekend. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, you know, God love them. They, you know, they made the playoffs. Everyone was really excited. And it was a great story.
If I had
watched
that stupid locker room celebration video one more time of them watching our game, I was going to
block. Well, I was pulling for them. I was pulling for them. But so they got into the playoffs and scored 3 points and they're out.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, is that...
Do you blow that up?
No, but what I'm saying is the Ravens are certainly in the realm in this crowd.
Yeah.
There is no doubt. Absolutely. Are they behind the Steelers and the Patriots? Yes. They are. I think, you know, as I wrote before, you know, finished 4 games behind the Steelers this year. That you cannot, that's just a fact.
Right. You can't gloss over that.
Yeah. So there's issues. But however, you're in the playoff hunt. So you better be real careful with blowing it up when really you should be in the playoffs.
The other thing, too, is I came from Cleveland as a Browns fan growing up. I covered the Browns, and I know the opposite here. So, like, the Ravens are the model of consistency and stability and continuity and all that stuff. And then on the flip side, when you start getting into the blow it up for the sake of blow it up argument, I point to the Browns, and I've seen it over and over again with the general manager, with the head coach. It just every couple of years, it doesn't work. All right, start fresh. And it's a slippery slope from where you get to where the Ravens are right now, where there's this consistency. Then all of a sudden, you start blowing it up, and then you're in that realm. Now, I understand there's areas in between. It's not like every team that makes a change that the general manager or coach all of a sudden is now 0-16. But you got to be careful when you're asking for the sake of, well, change for the sake of change.
Right.
I don't know that that's necessarily the right approach.
Yeah, I think you always, and you used this word earlier, Garrett, the word is nuance, mm-hmm. right? When you're a fan, I get it. You can operate on 100% emotion. Right? But when you're Steve Bisciotti and you're making these decisions, you have to work with logic, right? And you have to look at nuance, right? So why did the Ravens not get over the hump? A, number one reason, one stinking play.
Yeah.
If they make the playoff 4th and 12, we're in the playoffs, and it's an entirely different conversation. It's you made the playoffs 7 out of 10 years.
Yeah,
wow,
really
that's
is
an impressive right, that's an impressive track record, right?
I agree.
Now the Ravens put themselves once again in a position where one play was gonna make or break their season, And they don't want to be in that position. They shouldn't be in that position every year. And that speaks to the mediocrity. They're stuck in this kind of 8-8, kind of in the middle of the pack kind of realm right now. Now, why is that? I think they're stuck in there because the past 3 years, they've been hampered majorly by injuries, right? That's been a huge factor. And I think in large part, they haven't had offensive playmakers. You gotta find offensive playmakers. They haven't done it in forever. And this offense is just stuck in this not good place. And so when you look at it that way, you say, all right, if we can, instead of blowing it up, if you can find some playmakers, if you can do that, that has to be a priority. Just like last year, I think cornerbacks were the priority. This year, it has to be offensive targets. Playmakers, right? Sorry, I'm starting to bang the table as always. If you can do that and you can get over this hump offensively, then I think with the defense next year, you have a chance to be not middle of the pack. I think you go into it, you're looking at, you know, an 11-5, you have it sealed by week 16.
Let's just say the Ravens come out and they crush it in this draft. First round, they get Calvin Ridley. That's just, you know, we're just throwing out random guys. Okay. You get a Calvin Ridley. Then the second round, you get a pass-catching tight end. Okay, a big-time playmaker. Like, all of a sudden there, your offense, you feel like your offense, and then they get a veteran, a Mike Wallace-type player. Maybe they bring Mike back. I don't know.
Then you get
that kind of player. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, you bring Alex Collins back. He's ready to you get Marshall Yanda back on offense. The defense doesn't really change all that much.
Right.
That looks a whole lot better to me. And it's like you just hit on a couple big time guys. You get one game changing talent on offense. I think this thing looks a lot different.
Yeah. What was the most interesting part to me of the John Harbaugh season ending press conference was when he said, we're building. We're building here. I had not heard that from this team before. Anyone from this team, remember when he said, 2015, 2016, 2017, we've been building. Mm-hmm. And I thought, really? That made me, is that right? I wasn't sure about that. But, and certainly they went, five wins to 8-9. We have been building here since we hit bottom in the year after Kubiak was here.
Right.
Joe got hurt. So if that is in fact the case, and there are some things to build, if you're still building, then maybe you don't expect to be a championship team. And, to me, the Ravens didn't pass the eyeball test this year as a championship team. Mm-hmm. They were a playoff team, maybe not a championship team. But what's the better way to get close to it? Is it by tearing it apart and starting over or by tweaking what you have? I think it's the latter.
Yeah. And eventually there comes the time, if you go backwards or you have whatever, multiple more years of out of the playoffs. I mean, eventually there becomes a time when you have to make that tough decision. I don't think they're there yet.
Nope.
Yeah.
I do not.
All right. So with that said, John, good stuff. Really good stuff from John.
He's our new lounge mate.
He's a good lounge mate.
I am so excited to be in there. I can't tell you.
The Lieutenant Governor.
Listen, I will bring the snacks.
Oh. Ooh. Well, we know it's pretzels. It's a steady stream of pretzels.
Yeah, it would be pretzels.
And... Well, I've also siphoned off a few of the players-only snacks to my desk. Players aren't here anymore. This is the opportunity to go ahead and grab a handful.
Well, they're gone now. I hope you got them while they were there.
Well, where do you think they went?
Anyway, as always, you can reach us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. And we'll be back with you next week. We'll try to lock down a guest for next week.
We got a couple of ideas. We just got to do a little convincing.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks for listening as always, and we'll be back with you next week.